We're looking at the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Praise God for that promise. And then the second commandment forbids, as we saw, worshiping of images or any other way not appointed, it says, by his word. So several weeks ago, we talked about the regulative principle of worship, that we may do in the worship of God only what he has commanded. And if it's not commanded, then it is forbidden. We want to keep learning what that means here. We are seeking to do that. And may we do that more and more. But what does God... It says God hates graven and carved images. He hates man-made images for worshiping him. Why does he hate that so much? Why is he so angry? And why is the negative impact of that so long that we saw in the second commandment? Well, in the book I mentioned several weeks ago, How God Wants Us to Worship Him, Pastor Joe Moorcraft had, I thought, some very helpful thoughts. I'd just like to share a little bit from that. First of all, he mentioned that images represent an attempt to control God. An attempt to control God. People want to tell God how they want to worship him. This sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? They try to dictate what is acceptable worship to the living God. When God alone has that prerogative, he alone can tell us in his word alone how to worship him. And praise God, he has done that in his word. And there's a quote in that book that I think is a good summary of the whole book. And I shared this last week, I believe. But Pastor Moorcraft said, human beings, regenerate or unregenerate, have neither the right nor the competence to dictate to a sovereign God how he is to be worshiped. The right... certainly not the competence. Well, secondly, related to this control, that images are rooted in, he called it a theology of magic. Now, with magic, people try to use things or they try to do things or say things that gives them power. You know, they want power. People want to be independent of God and want to control themselves or others with their own power. And then... he said that making images denies the spirituality of God, he called it, but the spirit of God. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship, of course, in spirit and truth. We don't need to develop images to help us. His spirit helps us worship him rightly, worship him biblically. Images don't help our faith. In fact, they don't help our faith grow. They hinder it. And they only cause superstition. Now, fourth, he said they deny the freedom and sovereignty of God. So by creating worship as we might desire, we are easily saying, or essentially saying, God is not sovereign. He isn't free to tell us how he wants to be worshiped. May it not be so here. And then last of all, they deny the majesty of God. Images do. Anything we create... certainly, if I created something, I'm not an artist, I can't draw, I can't do any of that stuff. But anything any man creates will be imperfect and can't declare the majesty of God, as his word does, through the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Images take our eyes off the Creator and turn them on the creature or something created. It makes us believe a lie because God doesn't look like the images we make physically or mentally. For example, when we project on God the weaknesses that we have seen in our earthly fathers, when we should look to the Word of God and our Heavenly Father for what it means to be a father, and certainly be forgiving, understanding, and grow in what it means when we come before our Heavenly Father. Who is he? All of these are telling us that we are to worship him as he has commanded, as he has prescribed in his word. And we are forbidden to worship him with man-made images, you know, physical images, pictures, or images even in our mind. A couple of verses here. Deuteronomy 4, Moses is speaking to all the people, and he said in verse 12, "And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sounds of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice." And then verse 15, "Take careful heed," which means be very careful in this. "Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure." Act corruptly. And then one more. "Take heed to yourselves again, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Praise God that he is. So on the second commandment, Calvin said this, "It appears to me extremely unworthy to receive any other images than those natural and expressive ones created by God, which the Lord has consecrated in his word, I mean baptism and the Lord's Supper." So the sacraments, they use water, use bread and wine to help us understand the grace of God. And praise God, this morning we have rejoiced in both. We've been reminded of both, what that covenant means. The covenant of grace he made, of which baptism uses water as a sign and seal, and his covenant of grace in the communion celebration uses, of course, bread and wine. So we remember his broken body for us. We remember his blood shed for us. And we are reminded of his sacrifice as we come to this table and our ongoing relationship with him. Praise God. We do not need images for this. Let's pray. Lord, you are a consuming fire. And you are jealous for your glory and for your children to know your glory and your majesty. Oh, Lord, keep us, we pray, from individual and corporate worship, which is not what you would have, which is not what you have commanded, which does not please you. Lord, we praise and thank you for this communion celebration and for the bread and wine which remind us of your sacrifice, your broken body, your blood shed for us. Oh, Lord God, we come now to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus and by his redemption through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.